All right, so pretty regularly at the beginning of a year, might be preaching on a vision series or, you know, who we are as a church. I've done it many times, and there may be a time for that to talk about how we're learning together and doing life together and celebrating together and praying together and serving together and going together, these vision ideas that we have at Restoration. But today, this year, we're just doing one single sermon on who we are as Christians. Just simply to kick off the year to think about this question of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so I'm just going to challenge us and encourage us with the word in this as we think through this. So if you would, you go ahead and join me in prayer as we go into the word. Lord, I'm so thankful, God, for your word and so thankful for its constant provision of life. Renewal of our spirit, remembrance of what you've done and that you are present with us and going with us in everything that we face. And God, we're grateful. Your word is so strong and so powerful to comfort us in our time of need, to point us in the right direction, to give us the faith we need to believe when it's hard to see. And so God, we pray that you would encourage our hearts this morning and remind us of what it is to be a Christian, no matter what season we may be walking through, whatever we may be facing in this coming year. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, jumping into this kind of came in two parts because we're working through 1 Samuel, and we kind of just got over being briefly introduced to David and David's kind of rising up to the table. And as I'm thinking about this year, I'm thinking about, you know, things you want to set your rhythm to in the year. And it's just natural for us, once you turn the calendar, you turn it to a new number, to go, okay, like what is it going to look like next time I turn the calendar forward? And always a good time for us to think forward and plan into how we're going to jump into this next year and how we're going to shape our lives. And this year particularly, I felt like, man, let's just talk about what it is to be a Christian. Right? Like, you know, we've got people in this room. Mark, this is his last Sunday here with us. And he's going to go to a new place. And God moves us in and out of places from time to time. But following Jesus is the same wherever you're at. There are some principles and some things that are just the same. And we need to say it to ourselves that these are things that we can do anywhere, any day, any time to follow Jesus. And so I was reminded of this a little bit because we're talking about David. Right? And we're talking about him coming up. And so I wanted to think about who David was and apply that forward very briefly today to who we are as followers of Jesus. And the key component in David's life is a very simple truth that we've already been through in 1 Samuel from 1 Samuel 13, 14, which is David was a man after God's heart. He was a man after the heart of the Lord. When Saul was rejected for being disobedient to the Lord's instructions over and over and over again, Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." And Samuel went obediently, right? He went obediently to Jesse's house. And we remember this. He went to Jesse's house and he didn't find a man after God's heart there. He went through 7 sons and this man he thought was there wasn't there. And the Lord told Samuel in that time, "Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The last son of Jesse, David, was brought in from the field where he was tending the sheep to be anointed as the king of Israel. The Lord saw David's heart. He knew David's heart when no one would even take notice of David's heart. And so as I was thinking about this and thinking about, you know, again, the year ahead and what that should look like for any of us, no matter what the circumstances be, I thought, man, let's just take a moment to pause and remember some very basic things that have been in my heart about and what it is to be a Christian. And it's funny as I think about these things, because there's a list that I'll share with you of some things that have been on my mind. in this regard, it feels a bit legalistic in a way to just like list them. But in another sense, it's like, well, these are fruits. These are truly fruits of what it is to be following after the Lord's heart. This is what it looks like. And it's actually very accessible and very practical and something you can touch and feel and put in practice any day, every day of your life. And it shows us, really, the fruit of someone who's following after the heart of the Lord. Can you deceive people with these fruits? Can you deceive people with these things, doing these things I'm going to tell you about and talk to you about? You're not going to be surprised by this list, by the way. There's nothing shocking in what I'm going to say to you, I promise. Yes, we can. We can fool people with these fruits. But I will tell you, if your heart is for the Lord, these things will bear. These are things you will see in your life. And these are things you can steward and grow in your life too. And so Samuel was sent to find David, who was after the Lord's heart. And David learned to be after the heart of the Lord. He learned to depend on the Lord. He actually had nobody else to depend on, right? He is given charge by his father of the sheepfold, apparently. So much so that when predators come, who is it that kills the predator? It's David, right? No one's out there saving David from the predators. He is there fighting lion and bear on his own. There's not like an army with him. There's not like, he doesn't have a gun, you know? He's like, he is out there in the field tending sheep because he's the youngest. Go take care of the sheep, David. You're strong enough. Go take care of them. When predators come, he had to fight them. And so while he was tending the sheep, he learned some things. And I think what he learned was that the Lord was his strength. 1 Samuel 17:33 to 35, which we'll jump into 1 Samuel 17 this week. Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." This experience in the field gave David the confidence that it wasn't his strength, it was the Lord's strength that had saved him time and time and time again. In verse 37, David says to Saul again, he says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And so Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David knew that it wasn't his mighty strength that saved him from the lion or the bear. He knew that the Lord had saved him from these things. When lions attacked, the Lord saved him. And so, many of us have been Christians for a while here in this room and maybe listening to the message. And so I would challenge you to think about in your life, look back at your life and go, when was the first time you slayed a lion? Anybody remember slaying? What's that? Yesterday, Mark slayed a lion. There were some other lion keepers there with you slaying lions. But there was a time, right, after you became a Christian, things weren't perfect, right? Were you perfected as soon as you? No. Anybody perfect after they came to the Lord? It was like, man, everything's just perfect from here on out. Good to go. No, there was a time when God was like training you more and more about, okay, what does it now look like for you to follow me, right? And he taught you. He taught you how to slay a lion. And some lions look different than others. Hopefully no lions get slayed tomorrow night. Jason, hopefully the bike is. It's tonight? Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Hopefully no lion slaying tonight. So my first lion, I'll say, that I can think of, I'm sure there were other bears and lions throughout or whatever, but the thing that stands out to me the most and that I've shared about in my testimony over time is that, you know, I put my faith in the Lord at 7 years old. I trusted him for salvation at 7, was baptized at that point. And since then, you know, there's been many lions and bears, but the one I always think of, this lion, I'll call it a lion, was in the sixth grade. And in the sixth grade is a time when, you know, you're just trying to become who you are as a kid or whatever. And I was very much pressured by peers to be like my peers at that time. I remember that time of a time being like, wow, seeing the decision so clearly before me, like never before, that there is an opportunity to either like follow my friends this way or follow the Lord this way. And I can't like point to a specific moment, but that whole year was a time of seeing that decision before me, that I could either, you know, craft my life such that I appease and appeal to my friends or peers or people who are popular or what man sees or whatever, or I could follow the Lord. The decision was clear before me in the sixth grade that like that was an option, that there was something, I could either go this road or that road. There was a choice there. And a lion was roaring throughout that, trying to take me out with the men, you know? Take me out and appease what the world would want me to appease. And gladly, I slayed that lion. Not in my strength, but in the Lord's strength, I was able to slay that lion. I was able to see this decision, see this temptation that is before me, and choose to follow the Lord instead. 1 Peter puts it exactly this way, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Listen, I know you. We're not in the jungle here. You haven't been running into lions out here. But you have been. There are lions all around all the time roaring at you, and it's that loud, roaring at you to lose heart, to lose faith, to lose hope in Christ, and instead take control, do the thing the world is doing, whatever, and not trust the Lord. And it is a roaring that is happening constantly, right? And you've got to fight that. You've got to fight and slay that lion. And I could imagine that in this room there's testimony of times at which you all have fought and defeated a lion in the Lord's strength in that. And so, man, when did you first slay your lion? And what was it, right? What was it along that journey that helped you do that, right? Whatever journey you're on with the Lord, whatever season he's got you in, there's a few things that you will always be marked by. And I would say this season of slaying this lion in sixth grade is marked by these simple things, okay? For me, looking back at that time, what was it that changed? It wasn't that I, you know, got a sling and was able to, you know, swirl it at a lion and kill him. You know, it wasn't that I had a sword to, you know, physically do that. But there were some tools around me in my toolkit that were able to actually show me, yeah, following the Lord, though it's hard, right, is the way you ought to go. And these are them. These are the things. I've marked out four of them. There's probably, you could probably list them in different ways and get all sorts of different numbers, but I'm just going to put them in four categories for us. Wherever you are, if the Lord moves you from here to somewhere else, if he keeps you here, you know, whatever place you're in, okay, whatever season you're in, I would bet that if you're following Jesus, that these things are going to show up heavily. And the first is prayer. Pray. If you're going to follow Jesus this year, pray. Commit to prayer in all facets, in all ways. Intercession, okay? Praying on behalf of others, praying on behalf of other situations that are going on. This is testified all throughout Scripture that our prayers of intercession actually affect things in the physical, in across geographies, right? Paul is asking for people to pray for him that he might share the gospel boldly. How does someone from another part of the Mediterranean impact that? Well, prayer. Intercede for that which is happening around the world and that which the Lord puts on your heart. Chances are that the Lord puts something on your heart that is obscure or, you know, some other country or some other state or some other thing that the chief thing you can do, the most tangible thing you can actually do, is to pray for it, right? And so pray, intercede. At times, that calling might be such that you need to fast in prayer, that you might need to say, I need to so focus in prayer on this that I need to abstain from something else so that I can focus more on prayer. So that when I neglect my fleshly desire of whatever it may be I'm going to fast from, that I turn my mind to that thing the Lord has put for me to pray for. And so pray. Meditate. Meditate on what the Lord has told you in prayer, right? Confess to the Lord in prayer. Go, Lord, and say, like, this is who I am. This is all prayer. This is all prayer, as I'm defining it, as this is your conversation with God, okay? Your conversation with the Lord is, it can be focused time where you're, something you're doing in the morning, could be throughout the day where you're talking to the Lord throughout the day, could be, again, fasting, whatever it may be, you are in a conversation with the Lord. And you can distinguish it between when you're thinking about something or anxious about something and when you turn from that and start talking to the Lord about what is going on, right? And you have the opportunity to do that anytime, okay? Anxious thoughts come on you. You can either be gripped by those or you can sit in those. Okay, Lord, I am anxious right now and I need something from your word. I need something from the Spirit to calm me or whatever it may be. So you can be in constant prayer at any time, confessing to the Lord where you might need to confess, supplicating, right? Asking the Lord for what you need. I mean, if the Lord has given you something that you desire, that is on your heart, that is good and not against his will, something maybe you think you need or know you need, don't not ask, right? The Lord has given you good desires. He's a good father that has put good desires in you. And sometimes we think so lowly of ourselves that we don't ask for what God has put on our hearts to ask for. And he's like, I would love for you to just ask me and I will give it to you, right? And so supplicate for yourself. Ask the Lord for what you need and say, Lord, you know I need this. I know you know when I need this. So please, Lord, give it to me when you think you need to give it to me, right? And he will. If he needs to, or he'll show you that actually that was something really fleshly and you didn't need it at all, right? Like, when you talk to the Lord about what you need, he responds. He isn't neglecting you in that. He is listening to your heart and seeing, actually, if your heart is for him. So prayer, man, wherever the Lord has you on this planet, pray. If you're following Jesus, man, commit to prayer. Second, the Bible. Man, it's good. It's a good book. You really need to pick it up. And just encourage you, like, you know, read, memorize, study. Man, go through, you know, whatever it is. Don't try and go to the Bible and go like, I need a nugget to get from the Bible. Go to the Bible because this is the Word of God. And you want to have a relationship with the Lord and know His will and know His heart. Then this is where you can know that from. And so find ways to read and memorize the Bible. The Bible is going to be a part of any place in your journey with the Lord. The third thing, give. And just as Christ gave of himself, we're called to give in all measures. And typically this is three things, and I'm going to add a fourth to it, but your time, right? God has given you time, he's given you treasure, he's given you talent, right? You've heard this before, this isn't a new message, okay? Time, treasure, talent. Look at what the Lord has blessed you with. And give from it. Prayerfully consider, what does the Lord want me to give of my time, my talent, my treasure, and how does the Lord want to enact that? Give. We're called to give as followers of Jesus in the manner in which Christ gave. And he gave everything. He gave his whole life for us. And so you look at your life and say, well, do I give 10%? No, I give my whole paycheck. And my whole paycheck is the Lord's. Yes. You know, maybe 85% or 80% or whatever percentage it is to sustain your life. And that is a God-given thing that you should worship God in doing, but also, you know, 10%, 15%, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give generously to other things, that's also of the Lord. It's not like 10% of what the Lord has given you is what you give back to him. It's like the Lord has given you everything, and so you steward everything unto his glory. The whole 100%, right? So we got to think about even our money and what God has given us, or our time and what God has given us, differently, and think, well, I'm not compartmentalizing it. See, I've got my church time here, and I've got my my tithe here, and I've got my treasure that, or my talent here that I give. It's like, no, God's asked for your whole heart to be after his. And so you got to see, like, your time at work as something you're giving to the Lord. I'm actually giving my time at work to the Lord. I'm worshiping him through that time at work. I'm worshiping him through the money I spend on my rent, or paying my mortgage, or paying for my gas in my car. This is actually just as worshipful as giving a tithe to a missionary or a church or whatever it may be. It's the same. You actually are worshiping God in that, as you commit what God has given you unto the Lord. He's put it in your hand to steward, all 100%. And so give all of it to him and say, Lord, like, I want to enjoy this meal with my spouse, and I'm thankful to you for that. And so I'm going to add this last T that is not usually on the giving T list. And it's thanks, right? Thanksgiving, right? Give thanks to the Lord for what he has done, right? Thank him for how he has provided for you. Thank him for the talent he has given you. Thank him for the treasure he has given you. Thank him for the time he has given you. Thank him for the people he has put around you. Give God thanks. Give him thanks. So prayer, the Bible, giving, right? Giving of our time, our treasure, our talents, our thanksgiving. And finally, the last thing that I think is a marker of us as Christians is that we make more Christians, right? That we make disciples of Jesus. As you look at your life, we got to think about how do I have an ear for when I need to share the gospel with someone around me, evangelism? How am I pouring into other disciples in Christ, encouraging them in their faith, modeling what it is to follow the Lord, instructing what it is to follow the Lord, holding myself accountable to others as I follow the Lord? And so, again, the list might feel legalistic if you listed these things on a paper, but I challenge you to think that, like, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. To pray, to read the Bible, to give, to make disciples. This is what it is. This is what the Lord has done to us. He's changed us, that these kind of fruits come forward from us. And I would say that you can do these things outside of the walls of a church. You can do all these things outside of the walls of a church. And you should do all these things outside the walls of a church. But the place where these things are operating at the greatest level of concentration on the earth is together with the body of Christ. And so whatever season you're in, wherever you're at, Mark, I'm excited for the new season you're going to in Texas. I'm prayerful about the body of Christ that you will be a part of there, right? And for all of us, as we go in and out of times, man, wherever the Lord has you, find the body of Christ and pour into it and tie into it and do the same things, but corporately, right? Pray and read the Bible and give and make disciples. Go to church. Christians go to church. Sorry. You know, they do. They go to church. They fellowship together. And so I challenge you, you who have come to church, to go to church. Good job. You did. Good job. Everyone pat yourself on the back. You went to church this morning. But truthfully, man, if you follow the Lord, this is what it looks like. A commitment to his word, a commitment to prayer, a commitment to giving all that you have back to him, a commitment to showing others what that looks like and coaching them along in that and being coached along in that and gathering to celebrate what God has done in that. And to strengthen. And so, yeah, there's a fight to be had And wherever we're at, we're going to need to be able to fight the lions that are around us or whatever, and it's going to look like a few things. And the last thing that I wanted to end on was Ephesians 6 and the armor of God. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but it just reminded me of, just the way the Lord is working in this. And so I'm just going to read through, Claire, I'm going to skip a little bit, okay? I'm going to read through verse 13 and on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and that take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that my words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And as I was thinking about that list of things that should, you know, come out as we follow Christ, it just led me to this verse, right? And this is Paul reflecting to the Ephesians that this is what he's calling us to look like every day, right? To have the armor of God, to put on the belt of truth, right? To hold, get yourself ready to move, right? Get your pants on and get a belt of truth, right? Put your truth on. Hold your truth up, right? To put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? Righteousness is this holiness that protects us from the heart, protects our heart from the damage of sin, right? When you put on the breastplate of righteousness, what you're saying is, I'm going to be holy as the Lord is holy. And what that means is, I'm going to resist sin. I'm not going to sin because I know when I sin, my heart gets hurt. And so that's why it's a breastplate of righteousness. I'm guarding my heart against the damage of sin. Shoes fitted with the gospel of peace, right? The gospel is going to take us to make disciples wherever we go, right? This gospel is one that brings peace to places where God takes us. He puts them on our shoes because the gospel is going to take us somewhere. It doesn't keep us in one place, even if it does keep us physically in one place. It takes that good news to someone that's across the street, or that good news to, you know, maybe we're going to Texas, right? Wherever it's going to take us, it's going to take us there with purpose. The shield of faith. Again, this goes back to having the word, right, to extinguish the darts of the enemy. The enemy is going to fight you. You need these rhythms in your life because it's not a neutral world out there. There is an enemy, a lion, prowling around seeking to devour. And so you need the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. Where is your eternal hope? What is guarding your mind? Christ. Christ is guarding your mind. No matter what thing you face, Christ is guarding. Your eternal hope is in Him and only in Him. Again, with regard to the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. When you wield the Word of God in your life, you're actually partnering with Holy Spirit against the enemies that are around you. It's the sword of the Spirit, this Word of God. So as you go to the Word of God and apply it to your circumstances, what you're doing is taking really the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, at whatever enemy is at you. And in all this, pray in the Spirit with prayer and supplication, with perseverance, right? Prayer is not easy, okay? A lot of times you fall asleep when you pray, okay? You might kneel down to pray for a long time. You're, okay, I'm going to pray, and then all of a sudden, you doze off. Like, that's what it means, right? It actually, you do have to persevere in prayer. It is a battle, and it is a spiritual battle, one that, like, the enemy doesn't want you engaged in. So as as we wrap up, I really just want to challenge us as we look at the year ahead to fix our heart on the Lord's heart. David was a man after the Lord's heart, and he learned that in a field alone, tending sheep. And a lot of times, listen, I think we all feel like there's monotony in life. And just, I'm out here tending some sheep, you know, inspecting some planes, shuffling some paper, I'm selling some couches, you know, I'm taking some phone calls, I'm doing some accounting, I'm brewing up some beans. Like, we look at these things and it's repetitive and we don't see the Lord's hand in it, but the Lord is teaching us in all of these things. He is present in all of these things. And so I just challenge us and challenge myself to look at the time the Lord has given us and commit our heart to the Lord, the whole heart, the work he's given us to do, like just the literal tending of sheep he's given each of us to do, and say, God is speaking to us in these things. God is just as much present in my phone calls at work as he is here this morning. And it's so easy to forget that, but he is. He's the author of all life, and he's given everything we have. And so I just challenge us to fix our heart on the Lord. And the only way that we're going to be ready to give a testimony of hope for that which is within us is if we're actually following Jesus with our life. The only way that you're going to be able to fight the lion when he shows up while you're tending the sheep is if you've readied your heart on the Lord. And to ready your heart in the Lord, I'd challenge you that it's simply praying, reading the Bible, giving of yourself, and discipling other people. And I think as you do that, you'll be ready for any lion that shows up. You will know what to say when that happens because you will have trained your mind and your heart to depend completely and fully on the Lord. And so when the lion shows up, you'll be ready to fight. And so I challenge us that that we would fix our hearts on knowing the Lord's heart by putting into practice these simple things, committing to them, doubling down on them if you're already there. And I think many of you are, but determine who you want to be in regard to prayer and the Bible and giving and discipleship in this coming year. As you think about the year ahead, think about, man, how do I want to grow in these areas in this next year? And then bring it back today, prayerfully consider what your realistic rhythm looks like in order to do that. Are you on pace with where you want to be in that? Are you spending the time in prayer that you want to be at? I'll be honest, I'm not. I need to get back into the right rhythm of prayer. I need to get back into the right rhythm of the Word. And so I challenge each of us to look at that, assess that, and go, okay, what do I need to adjust to get back on track with that? Or what do I need to adjust to get further on in that if I'm at a spot where I'm comfortable? And so prayerfully consider what that looks like. And then hold yourself accountable to that, right? Something we think about often is in Christian circles is that I need to find someone to hold me accountable. And this was flipped on me recently to remember that it's not another person that holds me accountable. It's me that holds myself accountable to somebody else. If I put it on somebody else to hold me accountable, guess what? They're not going to call. Nobody wants to be that person, to be the one calling. And it's actually less effective if I'm depending on someone else to call me out. I need to commit to holding myself accountable to other people and be the one that is actually the person saying, hey, I don't need you to say anything to me. I just need to be able to tell you this week how I did on whatever goal that you have. And when you start kind of owning that yourself, and I think the world actually does a good job of this, something we can actually learn from a little bit. Like if you're thinking about workout plans, there's a lot of like self-accountability going on, holding yourself accountable for what you're doing in your health and your eating and whatever. We need to be the same way spiritually. We need to go, this is actually, I'm holding myself accountable to somebody else. I'm not depending on someone else to call me out, okay? And oftentimes in Christian circles, we're waiting on somebody else to call us out. Instead of the reverse of going, no, God has called me to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to hold myself accountable to somebody else instead. And so I just challenge you, as you think about what you want to do this year to grow closer to the Lord, man, find a way to hold yourself accountable to that. And maybe that's a weekly rhythm, maybe that's a biweekly, whatever that is, find some sort of checkpoint with yourself to go, I need to tell somebody, I need to either testify to how it's going or ask somebody to be praying for me that it would go better, or I need to be the one, you know, initiating that and owning what the Lord has put in my life to own. And again, man, it's simple to follow the Lord. Read his word, pray, give your whole life. They're all hard things to do, but the list is very small. And it's transformative to every part of our life and will take us through every season that he's got us in. And so I just put this before you, that we would know the heart of the Lord and fix our eyes on knowing that by following after him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you just for the reminder of David's heart after you. We thank you that he learned how to follow you in the field, tending sheep, and God, that he had complete confidence when the lion came and the bear came, so much so that when the Philistine came, he was the only one in the whole army of Israel that would go out and fight the great Philistine, Goliath. And so, God, we pray truthfully and not in hyperbole, we want to be people that would be willing to slay Goliath. And Lord, we know we're weak and we know we're small, but you are not. And so, Lord, we pray you would help us in whatever season we're in and wherever we are at to fully and completely trust you. That we trust you by going to you in prayer, that we trust you by reading your word and holding our lives in light of your word, that we trust you in giving everything we have to you, our talent, our treasure, our time, our thanks, God, we give all of it to you. And Lord, that we would desire that those things be replicated in the people you've placed around us, those who don't know you yet and those who already do. And so, God, we pray that in the coming year that we would grow closer to you, that if lions and bears and Goliath show up, that we would have complete confidence in trusting your will and your power to be our power. And so, God, we thank you. Thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts this year. Lord, there are many questions on the table for us all, and we trust you completely in every circumstance. Even when we don't understand the circumstance, Lord, we trust you and follow you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name.